Gath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman named Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people, and thou that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and mother knew that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done, and he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. After a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. And he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast. For so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thine riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle. Lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire, have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost not but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? She wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. She told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him, on the 7th day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave changes of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. And it came to pass within a while after it came time of wheat harvest, and Samson visited the wife with the kid, and he said, I will go to my wife and into the chamber. And her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said unto them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, took firebrands, turned tail to tail, put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. The Philistines said, who had done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And Samson came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged to you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt on the top of the rock Etham. And the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of rock Etham and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistine are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely will not kill thee. And they bound him with two cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. The cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and the bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Father, we love you today. Pray you'd help me to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost. Help me to begin, bring glory and honor to your name and do that that would be honorable to you, Lord. Thank you for this service, Lord, and pray, God, that you just have your way. Thank you for mercy and grace and all that you have. Lord, we'll leave this place saying it's been good to be here. Just take over and have your way. Meet with us in Holy Ghost power. May your will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I read a lengthy portion of Scripture. I really wanted to read about another chapter, but I want to deal with today, if the Lord will help me for just a little while, about this mighty man, this man in the Bible known as Samson, when the strongest become weak. Samson, I believe you could say, if in the Bible, they have often painted in these little children's Bibles Samson as some muscular guy. I don't believe he was a muscular guy because they would have probably gave credit to his own workout method to be in. But it was only when the Spirit of the Lord came on him. I believe he's a normal sized man as anybody else was. But when God got on him, he could do mighty things. He could do wonderful things and glorious things. And we've only read just a couple of them. But there's a downfall about Samson. We may touch on them all. I don't know if we'll get to them. There's a romancing of Samson, the rebellion of Samson, and then the riddle that came from Samson. And we read just a little bit of them. But if you were to read in chapter number 14, you'll find there the marriage of this man named Samson. There was protest about this marriage. There was a word protest. I mean, in the book of Deuteronomy, they were told not to marry the Philistines, and yet he went against the Bible. There was a weak protest. In other words, his parents did say, you know, why can't you choose somebody among your own brethren? Why do you have to go down there among the daughters of the Philistines? And the parents probably should have protested more. But that should have been enough for Samson. His godly parents who raised him with that Nazarene vow, that godly parents who honored Jehovah God all of his childhood, you'd think that he would recognize his parents and then recognize the scriptures, the precepts, but he disregarded the protest. There was a pollution before the marriage. You remember the Bible says that he went walking down into the vineyard. He was, as a Nazarene, was not supposed to be in the vineyard. He wasn't supposed to touch grapes. He wasn't supposed to consume grapes. He wasn't supposed to be around them. So he was in a place that he shouldn't have been, and then the lion came on him. You know that's what the devil will do. The devil will show you everything sweet and everything beautiful and everything wonderful, and then that sorry lion will roar on you. But then God, even though he was in the wrong place, and we'll get there in just a little bit, God gave him the power to defeat the enemy. And he ended up defeating that enemy and then drinking or eating honey from the dead carcass lion, which was also against the marriage and against his vows. There was a problem in the marriage. Samson's wife beguiled in him. She told him, said, tell me the riddle. She tricked her husband just to keep herself safe, so to speak. there was a parting after the marriage. You find that all in chapter number 14. Samson left. He goes back to get his wife and finds out she's unlaid with his companion, laid with his friend. Boy, that's friends you don't need. And then in Judges chapter number 15, we see the marriage of Samson. We see in Judges 15, we see some of the mighty deeds of Samson, just by way of overview. There's a burning of the crops. There's the breaking of the ropes. Then there's the busting of the rascals, I call it. That's when he takes a jawbone of an ass. Boy, ain't that something. Takes a jawbone. I've actually had one at one time. It's about this long. And he took it, and with that jawbone of an ass, he whooped thousands of them Philistines and then got thirsty, and then God let him get water in that jawbone and drink out of it. Boy, I'm glad the same thing that'll help you defeat the enemy is the same thing that'll satisfy your nutritional value. I'm glad this Bible is what we need. Amen. The breaking of the ropes, the busting of the rascals. And then you see the bewitching of Delilah. Man, it's got a whole lot of stuff going on in chapter number 15. If you continue on in chapter number 16 of the life of Samson, you'll see the misery. In other words, sin is catching up with Samson. You see, the chickens always come home to roost, and they're about to come home to roost. The blinding of this old brute. He lost his eyes. He labored in prison. He lost his freedom. He began to be a laughing stock. They made mockery of him. But he left this world in another mighty act. How did this mighty man start out so tall and fall so quick? I believe that's what we're going to look at for just a little bit. Almost, there's no other judge in all of the judges of the Bible that there is more written of than Samson. Samson, there's more written about Samson as his judge than anybody else. He was judged for, I think it was 20 years. You see, Samson's family has been mentioned. We've already dealt a little bit about that. His feats has been mentioned. But his failures were always fleshly. Samson's women, notice this about Samson. He wanted a woman of Timnath. She was a betrayer. She beguiled Samson. There was a harlot of Gaza. We didn't even read her. I call her not the betrayer. I call her the bimbo. Y'all forgive me. She was a beauty that blinded his eyes. And then there's Delilah. I call her the barber. She's the one that had his hair cut off. There's always something about this man named Samson, the downfall of Samson. The strongest become weak when they allow their flesh instead of their faith to guide their feet. The strong always will become weak in 2023 when we allow our flesh to guide instead of our faith, guide our feet. Somebody ought to say amen. That's right. The pursuit of this romance. Notice what he does. Here's what it starts out with. In chapter 14, we read this. Look what your Bible says. The Bible says he went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath. He had a pursuit of this romance. If you were to keep reading, it's kind of like that valley of, oh no, he's fixing to mess up. In a valley that's literally named, oh no. I mean, you need to stay away from that. Somebody, amen. Oh no, you don't need to go there. You know who was the determiner of this pursuit? His dad and mom didn't say, hey, there's a good girl down in Timnath. You need to go there. And it wasn't some godly friend, some fellow judge that said, hey, I got a godly girl. Man, you need to go down and meet her. But y'all believe God. Y'all follow God. Both of y'all have these dedication vows. And it wasn't that. You see, the determiner of the pursuit was Samson. It was Samson's pick. Not the Savior's pick. It wasn't what the Scripture said. It wasn't what his friends said. It wasn't what some saint said. It was what Samson wanted. You got to be careful when you go after what you want. Somebody ought to say amen. He allowed his eyes to determine who he was going to marry. It was all based on outward beauty. I believe it was my grandpa on my mom's side. I can't remember. There's a lot of things that he said that probably wasn't good. But there's one thing he said that was good. He said, be careful of what you see on the outside. She may be a witch when you get her home on the inside. Now, that's what my grandpa said. But he was basing it on the outside. He was basing it on his flesh. His eyes determined who he was going to be with. It's not going to be long. He's going to lose his eyes. If that's what make marriage is good, then everybody in Hollywood would be happy. Somebody ought to say amen. I mean, it ain't no wonder that the men look like that. They spend 6 hours a day. 6 to 8 hours a day working out every single day, pumping steroids. I mean, they gonna look big. And I mean, after 14 skin grafts and 13 skin stretches and eye lifts, it ain't no wonder they 60 and look like they ain't got no wrinkles. Somebody ought to say amen. If it was all about beauty, then everybody in Hollywood, they would nobody ever be divorced. Amen. Amen. Lord help. He determined, he pursued something that his fleshly eyes desired. There was disobedience in his pursuit. It was against the word of God. Let's just look, we're basing everything I've taught Sunday school this morning on the word of God. Look what Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Here's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 3. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughters shall not. Thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. He said, you're not to marry outside of the faith. You're not to marry outside. That's why God's will in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, I believe it's about verse 16, God's not wanting us to marry somebody that don't believe the Bible. Somebody ought to say amen. You shouldn't even be courting them. Shouldn't be talking to them. The disobedience in the pursuit is against the word of God. It was disrespect in the pursuits. I've already mentioned in a minute. Not only was it disrespect for the Bible, disrespect for his rabbi, it was disrespect for the Lord, it was disrespect to his parents. In Judges chapter 14 and verse number 3, reread it, his mom and dad said, I've already mentioned, he said, you shouldn't go down there, can you not marry somebody among your brethren? And let me just say this, young people, if mom and dad are hard against the person that you're thinking about going with, you probably shouldn't go with them. Amen. They disrespecting the parents should have been a red flag. The pursuit of the romance. Man, all he cared about. He wanted that woman. The protest. There was a wise protest. The Bible says it. If you were to look in the book of Exodus, chapter number 34, verse 12 through 16, it says we're not to intermarry, not to marry idol worshipers. Jehovah worshipers are not to marry idol worshipers. In Deuteronomy, I've already read it to you. Stay away from them. You're not to. There was a wise protest in the Bible. There was a logical protest by his parents. There was amen. You just shouldn't do it. They're uncircumcised. You shouldn't raise your kids that way. I often asked somebody one time, I asked this guy, he was over in the prison, I was his only pastor that he had, and I was his chaplain. He come up to me, he says, I really want to marry this Methodist. And I said, well you're a Baptist, right? And I said, well, let me ask you a question. It may seem very superficial, but let me ask you one thing. When you have a baby, are you going to let that baby be baptized, or are you going to wait till they become a believer before they're baptized? He said, well, I never would have thought about it. And I said, well, not all Methodists, but some follow that Catholicism leadership. And they may want to spring. So what are you going to do? He ended up breaking up with her. Then he goes to another extreme. He wants to marry somebody that's a Catholic. Wants me. I said, well, now I'll ask you the same question. You for sure. All right, what are you going to do with that baby? You can't raise children believing two different things. Is everybody with me? He said, there's just a why, it's just logical. Amen, it's scriptural. But then you've got parental saying, don't do it. There was a protest. But we see the rebellion of Samson. I want you to notice with me, just watch the language in your Bible. And I read it quick, hoping, I want to see if you picked up on it.
Watch this. Watch what the Bible says. Look in Judges 14 in verse number 5. Watch the progression of Samson. He started out on top. He's got the vows. He's dedicated to God. He's got a godly mom and a godly daddy. He's headed in the right direction. He is a judge of the nation of Israel. He is the strongest man that's ever lived, according to the Bible. Solomon is the wisest. Samson is strong. I mean, he's not strong in his flesh, but when God gets on him, he can rip gates off of their hinges, off of a city. He can, amen, he can be bound up and rip the binds. He can take a jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 enemies. I mean, he can catch wild foxes. He must have been fast too. He can catch foxes and set their tails on fire and burn them. I mean, this is a man's man. But he's allowing his pride to get the best of him. I want you to watch what happens. Watch the digression, I should say, of Samson. Look in Judges 14. Watch the downwardness of Samson. It's going to be three times. Judges chapter number 14, watch what happens in verse number 1. And Samson went down. Did y'all see that? Watch what happens in verse number 5. Then Samson went down. Did y'all see that? He went down. He went down. It kind of reminds me of Jonah. He went down. Instead of going where God told him to go, he went down to Joppa, went down in the boat, and then he went down in the sea. Anytime you go away from God, amen, you don't listen to the wise protests, you don't listen to wise precepts, you don't listen to the wise counsel of those that God's put as your mom and daddy, here's what happened. You always go down. And Samson, the downwardness of his path, the rebellion of Samson, he's going down, down, down. Three times he went down in your King James Bible. Verse number 7. And he went down and talked with the woman. Watch the deviation. Watch the deviation. Here's what the Bible says. He went down. He went down. Do you know what it eventually says? You keep reading the text. It says he turned aside. So you got a downward path of Samson. He's going down. He's going down. He's going down. Anyway, with God, is going to be up. He's going down. And then he's deviating because the Bible said he turned aside. He disregarded his parents. He disregarded the precepts. And he's disregarding the only potentate God who was guiding his feet. And yet he deviated from the pathway. That's what will happen. I'm going to tell you, when you start allowing the flesh to guide your feet instead of faith to guide your feet, you're always going to go down, 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 and you're going to deviate off of what God wants you to do. Don't be diverted. Don't allow your flesh to guide your feet. The danger of the pathway. Look in verse number 5. Here comes a lion. Here comes a lion. Said he came, a young lion roared against him. There's always danger. The way of the transgressor is hard. Y'all remember that prodigal? I mean, he had all that money, took his portion of the living, and he went down and he spent all that he had. I mean, you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The same thing. Man had everything. He was left naked and robbed and half dead. It may look good going down there, but it's always going to end bad. There's always danger, amen, in the pathway that leads away from God. Don't deviate from the pathway. Don't go downward against the will of God. He deviated. Watch it. But in spite of all that, watch God deliver him from his path. Look at verse number 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came on mightily. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, preacher. There's a miracle in the deliverance. That's right. He had nothing in his hand. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a stick. The Bible said he grabbed him and rent him in pieces like a kid. I don't know how you could rent a goat in half, but he rent that lion in half as if it was a kid. The miracle about it is the Spirit of the Lord came on him. That was mercy. There's mercy in this deliverance. Isn't it amazing that when you deviate from the plan of God, you go down away from the plan of God, you disregard all those godly people that God puts in your life, and you get in the middle of a mess and the lion's raging against you and you call out to God. Isn't it amazing? He'll still show up and rescue you from your mess. Man, that's amazing. I say hallelujah. I mean, you know you done wrong. You ain't got no business being where you're at. And when you call out to God, God will have mercy on you. Boy, ain't God good. There's a miracle. God done that. God came on him. There was mercy. And then there was muteness. He didn't want to tell. Look, the Bible said he took that honey and he gave some to his mom and daddy after he came back from watching that lion. These bees that built a nest of honey in there. Boy, they had honeycomb going. He reached in there. He ain't supposed to be doing that. He's a Nazarene. He ain't supposed to be in a vineyard to begin with. He's not supposed to touch grapes to begin with. He's not supposed to touch anything dead to begin with. But he's eating honey from a dead carcass. And isn't that something that God helped him kill? And he goes to give some to his mom and daddy, and they say, where'd you get this honey? And boy, he ain't got nothing to say. He don't want to tell them. Let me give you an analogy. That's kind of like you, this, if you got to work, that's different. If you're sick, that's different. But let's just say one Sunday, you decide, you know what? I've been faithful in church. I'm going fishing. I hope you catch the biggest fish that's ever been caught, because you can't tell nobody because you laid out of church on Sunday to go fishing. Y'all follow what I'm saying? He wanted. Wouldn't it have been something to tell, Dad, you should have seen that line come on. I ripped that line up, and when I come back by, I got to eat honey out of that victory. Boy, ain't that something? But he couldn't tell nobody. He couldn't say nothing. That's like laying out for about four or five Sundays in a row, getting the biggest deer in Colorado that's ever produced. Got 25 points on it. I mean, irregular, 400 pounds, monster, biggest thing that's ever walked, and you can't tell nobody because you played sick. Somebody say amen. He couldn't say nothing. He had to keep his mouth shut. Even though God done a mighty thing, he couldn't say nothing about it. You know why? Because he wasn't supposed to be there to begin with. The downwardness, but yet the deliverance. The rebellion of sense. Beware of defiled sweetness. Notice these priorities of Samson. Here's his priority is honeys instead of holiness. Now some of them is women, and some of them is from the lion's belly. Amen. Y'all know that's right. Amen. Sweetness instead of sanctity. Honey instead of holiness. Pleasure instead of purity. That's all seems to be that he's focused on. Samson seems to be more interested. He ain't interested in saints and sinners. He's not interested in seeking God's face. Don't seem interested in scriptures. He's going against everything that he's been taught. Many of God's children's courtships, they start out focused, hey, I'm going to win this person to the Lord. And it ends up the bad person always takes them wrong. Most of the time. It ruined him. This mindset wrecked his ministry. This mindset resulted in multiple messes for Samson. I want you to notice with me the precepts for Samson. He could care less, it seemed like, what the scripture said. His arms or his hands was full of honey, and that's all he cared about. He didn't care about eating from the dead carcass. He wasn't supposed to touch it. All he had on his mind was satisfying his flesh, not walking in faith. Watch the perjury of Samson. Samson, after he gave that, he made a false claim. Said, here's what the Bible says. He did not tell them that he'd taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. See, here's what happens. When you do something you shouldn't do, you usually don't want to tell it. I had a man come up and ask me the other day, said, is it ever right to lie? I knew where they was going because we've been studying a little bit about Rahab. And I said, well, there is a time in the Bible when Rahab the harlot lied to protect her family. That is true. That is true without a doubt. She lied and said she didn't know about them two people that came in, and she saw them as family, she saw them as faith, she saw them as friends, and she did it to protect her family. I said, there is an occasion in the Bible But the Bible tells us as a standard that we should tell the truth. Y'all agree with that? And Samson now has turned away from God. He's telling lies against God. He's not telling the truth for God. And it ain't going to be long. They're going to capture Samson. He begins to lay his head in a woman by the name, y'all know her, by the name of Delilah. And he lays his head in her lap one time and he gets away with it. Lays in her head in her lap two times, gets away with it. Lays his head in her lap three times, gets away with it. I bet he's popping his suspender saying, well, hey, three strikes and you're out and I'm okay. But the fourth time is what got him, and she cut his hair. And it wasn't about the hair necessarily. It was about the vow that was attached to the hair. It was about that Nazarene commitment that his mom and dad and he had made. And when he disregarded every single way, path, every single opportunity, he went for flesh instead of faith. Every woman, all the women in his life was always about flesh instead of about faith. All the things in his life was always about flesh and never about faith. And so they finally get him and they bind him and they pluck out his eyes and he's walking around grinding meal like a donkey. And they're mocking him and making fun of him. And you think, well, God's done with him now. He's dead in now. He's captured now. Ain't nothing he can do now until that boy come over and said, hey, man, unloosed him and said, guide me to the pillars. And the Bible said he grabbed a hold of one pillar and then grabbed a hold of the second pillar and pulled them down. And God gave him he had to have a spirit. He said he felt his hair growing back. He had the Spirit of God came on him one more time. He hadn't felt the Spirit in a while. He tried to shake himself after his hair was cut, but he wished not that the Lord had departed. But just a little while repenting, just a little while praying, just a little while seeking and thinking everything that he ever looked at, he can't see nothing no more. He'll never be tripped up by the way the woman looks no more. He'll never be tripped up by the things he wants to do. He's bound up. He's going to die. But he said, God, if you'll just give me strength one more time, I want to bring a victory for you. And he killed more in his death than he'd ever done in his life. And here's what I'm saying. Thank God it looked like God was going to just let him die like that. But God, in his mercy and God, amen, in mighty power, showed up for Samson one more time. Can I just show you how merciful God is, how mighty God is? God will do that for you. God will do that for me, because God loves us and God puts up with our sorry hide, and we keep deviating and we keep rebelling and we keep going after flesh and not following faith, and we let flesh instead of faith guide our feet, and we're always going to end up in the wrong place. But ain't it good to know that when you repent and the world's done its best against you, that you can call on God and he'll help you one more time. That's where we're at this morning in 2024. If we be honest, in 2024, we probably started out saying, I'm going to read my Bible more than I read it. And doubt very seriously we have. We probably started out this year saying, man, I'm going to pray more than I ever prayed. And I doubt we've changed any. Probably got worse. Oh, I'm going to be dedicated. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do everything God wants me to do. But instead, we keep turning toward sin, turning toward evil, turning toward wickedness. See, here's what happens. Sin, Satan, and flesh always leaves destruction or obstruction or pollution in your life. It's always going to hurt people. It's going to hurt more than just you. I remember reading about a man who was dedicated to his wife for like 40 years. They were married. And then some girl came up and caught his eye. She was about 19 years old. And here this man goes and commits adultery, walks away, loses his wife, loses his family, and then kills himself. I have a personal friend. I know, man, I'm telling you, he got sidetracked. He got sidetracked. This lady come up. She had two kids and ended up falling for her, and he ended up losing his ministry. And he kept on working, was a hardworking guy, but he kept going further in sin and getting deeper in drugs. And then for long, he was taking more dope, not just smoking pot. He was doing more things. And before long, this preacher shot himself, blowed his brains out. And you know what he said? He said, sin took me further than I want to go. That's what he wrote on the note. See, here's what happens. Nobody ever takes that first sip and says, whoo, I hope I become a wife beater and a child smacker. I hope I become a drunk. Nobody ever says, I want to smoke my joint, and man, I'm going to smoke this, and I can't wait. I can't wait. I can start doing LSD. I'm looking forward to doing. Yeah, they don't start. They don't do that. They don't never start out like that. All we ever do is we go on site. We say, man, that looks good. Man, that's pleasurable. We don't think about the pain. We don't think. All we see is in the front yard, man, we see the parties. We see the beer kegs. We see the beer bones. We see everybody having a good time, dancing. The music's turned up. But we don't see the backyard where there's graveyards and wife beaters and child molesters and prison and jail. And we don't see that. And now they've made sports gambling legal in our state, as if the lottery wasn't bad enough. And now say, well, it's legal. You know, I can do it. And you say, preacher, that's, hey, each man do his own. Okay, well, then you say that gambling, that's the North Carolina statute, is a victimless law or is a victimless crime. That's actually not true. Because I went and knocked on a door to a lady, and her husband spent every dime that he had. She had lupus, which is intensified if you don't have air condition. She didn't have money to pay her power bill. She didn't have air condition. I went to look in her cabinets. They were completely empty, didn't have nothing in there because he'd ruined her credit and charged up all her cars, ruined his credit, charged up all his cars, and gambled every dime away. It's not a victimless crime. It was her suffering. It was her kids suffering. It was everybody around them suffering. Are y'all listening to me? I'm telling you, it's important. Immorality takes various forms, but I'm going to tell you, lives don't have to stink. Life don't have to be in the gutters. You don't, hey man, beware of defiled sweetness. Everything the devil's got is not sweet. Everything the devil has is not pretty. Behind that pretty mask may be one of them warded up witches. You don't need that. You need to stay away from everything that looks like it's what the flesh wants. Samson is a perfect picture of when the strong become weak because flesh got at his feet. The strong will become weak when you let the flesh guide your feet. Is everybody listening to this preacher? It's 2024. We're living in a time where preacher, hey, everything's okay. It's all right. But I'm going to tell you, time after time, if you read the life of Samson, and I just barely hit the one page. If you read the life of Samson, it's the romancing of Samson, the rebellion of Samson, and then here comes the rescue of Samson. I just want to go on record and say, thank God for the rescue of Samson. If it wasn't for God reaching down in mercy and love, they wouldn't none of us have a chance on Sunday morning 2024. I think, if I got it remembered right, this coming Sunday's Easter. Is that right? The next Sunday. So not this coming Sunday, but next. 2 weeks from now, be resurrection morning. So we're going, 2 weeks from now, we celebrate our resurrected Savior. Isn't it something that the people that were in his very group, one of them betrayed the Lord over 30 pieces of silver? Over 30 pieces of silver betrayed our Lord. Zechariah said it was going to happen. Who would have believed it'd been one of the 12? Who would have ever thought it'd be one of them that had power? Because the Bible said he ordained 12 that they should be with him and they might send them forth to preach and have power to heal sickness and cast out devils. They experienced, just by being around the Lord, there was power. Just by being where the Lord was at, the presence of God, one of them that watched him walk on water, one of them that watched him take blinded eyes and open them up and lepers and cleaning them, one of them, folks, I mean, that took blinded eyes and deaf ears, one of them that took he saw it all. He was able in the name of Jesus to cast out devils himself. But he couldn't cast out the one that was in his own life. Is it not amazing that Judas kissed Jesus on the cheek as the very sign that they would take him into custody? So be careful today Be careful in 2024, because it don't matter how strong you are, if you let flesh instead of faith guide your feet, the strong will always become weak. Don't matter how long you've served God, how many Philistines you killed, you might have catched all them foxes and burned all the enemies up, killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, grabbed the lion, ripped it with your bare hands. I can fight the devil. I ain't worried about the devil. I've fought the devil and won many times. Don't be careful, because the strong can become weak when you let flesh guide your feet. Are y'all with me today? Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. Pray, God, that you